I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up next week on Only a Game, how Kendra Harrison hurdled frustration and doubt on her way to breaking a 28-year-old world record. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Bill. Those are high hurdles, especially doubt. Doubt, you really got to get a running start to get over.
No question about it. It's a big one. The New York Yankees reacquired reliever Aroldis Chapman this week. They are going to pay him $86 million over the next 5 years, which is a record for a closer. New York first got him about a year ago from the Reds, who traded him while he was being investigated for domestic violence. Then the Yankees sent him to the Cubs. I wonder if the Yankees wish they just held on to him.
Well, I mean, certainly Chapman. I mean, he gets traded to the Cubs, wins his ring. Now it's time to get paid. But he was a very profitable rental property for the Cubs.
He was indeed. This week, Brian Cashman, general manager of the Yankees, called the Boston Red Sox, quote, the Golden State Warriors of baseball. Does he mean they're really tall?
No, he means their pitching staff is really loaded. Mm. They picked up Chris Sale from the White Sox in a terrific, what I think is a terrific trade this week. Not only does Chris Sale make the Red Sox better, he makes David Price better because, as was once said of Walter Mondale, that he had the soul of a vice president, David Price has the soul of a number two starter.
The second
he will
pitcher.
Be perfect in that role.
On Sunday, the unnecessarily wordy Today's Game Era Committee announced that it had elected former Commissioner Bud Selig and highly successful GM John Schuerholz to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Selig becomes just the second commissioner to be elected while he's still alive. Do you suppose there'll be any reference to steroids on his plaque?
Of course not, but they're going to keep out the guys who actually took the steroids, but they're going to induct all the people who profited from it. Hmm. I mean, if this doesn't clearly demonstrate that the war on performance-enhancing drugs in any sport is a farce, this should do it.
Well, interestingly enough, the Baseball Writers Association of America has just voted to make their ballots public beginning in 2018. I wonder if this means Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are going to have a lot harder time getting into the Hall of Fame than Mr. Selig.
Well, I don't know about that because now folks are really responsible. Of course, in this age of social media, I don't know that I'd want to be a member of the Baseball Writers at this point, be deluged with angry and violent emails from Tim Raines fans.
An apparent loophole has been found in the NFL's, a.k.a. the No Fun League's, policy of absolutely no fun at any time, and that loophole involved angels? Explain, please.
Yeah, apparently, for some reason, and I have no desire to waste a minute of my time diving into the arcane NFL rulebook, apparently snow angels are not covered by the Dean Vernon Wormer policy of the National Football League.
And yet they are fun.
And here in Boston, of course, we remembered when Adam Vinatieri kicked a field goal in the snow in the last game of the old Sullivan Stadium. The long snapper ran straight down the field, jumped on his back in the end zone, and made snow angels. Apparently, this has been grandfathered in.
That's excellent.
As an exemption to the no fun policy.
The World Anti-Doping Agency's latest report about Russia's massive doping conspiracy implicates 1,000 athletes who competed at the 2014 Sochi Winter Games, as well as Russia's own anti-doping agency, the Sports Ministry, and even the FSB Intelligence Service. I wonder if anybody in Russia hasn't been implicated in this.
Well, I don't know.
It's a big country, but still.
It's hard to believe they had, you know, time or personnel to monkey with our recent presidential election, but there you go. You know what? The Russians don't care. They won't care the next time we have a Winter Olympics. They won't care the next time we have a Summer Olympics. And they won't care in 50 years when the World Anti-Doping Association finally goes out of business.
On Wednesday, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office denied a trademark request from the NHL's newly minted Vegas Golden Knights. They have yet to play a hockey team, but this is not a good start for this NHL franchise. We've talked about some of the other problems they've had.
This is great, though. The College of St. Rose, which sounds like a darling place, by the way. Mm-hmm. Sounds like all the buildings should be made of gingerbread. Anyway, their sports teams are also called the Golden Knights.
Uh-oh.
So the Vegas hockey team was denied a trademark request because people are afraid that the Golden Knights of the National Hockey League might be confused with the St. Rose Golden Knights soccer team or whatever.
Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors failed to score in the fourth quarter of Monday night's game. Must have been disappointing.
My work here is done, said Klay Thompson at the end of the third quarter when he had 60 points.
Pretty good week for some players.
I mean, he was 21 for 33 from the field. It was amazing to watch. And sometimes it looks like the Golden State Warriors are just fooling with the rest of the league.
Michael Jordan defeated a lot of NBA teams single-handedly or nearly single-handedly, but it would appear now that he's defeated an entire nation and a pretty large and powerful one.
I was going to say, and not Luxembourg,
no.
Baby. He beat China.
Yeah.
He beat China in court. There was a Chinese sportswear manufacturer who'd been using the name, and I'm going to mispronounce this, and I'm sorry to
just
all
say
of
Jordan,
our,
close
all,
enough.
Yeah, all of our listeners who speak Mandarin are going to be embarrassed by this. Chiaodan, which is apparently the transliteration of Jordan in Mandarin, and somebody hip Michael to it, and he won a verdict. And I'll tell you what, you talk about winning on the road. He won a verdict in front of something called the Supreme People's Court.
Hmm.
If you can win in the Supreme People's Court, you can win anywhere.
Absolutely. Finally,
no,
Charlie,
no, we're not talking about this. No,
yeah, we are.
No, I'm leaving the room right
we
now.
We are. We're talking about it. It's in the news. The IOC has provisionally approved cheerleading as an Olympic sport, and it could be included in the actual games as early as 2024. So I hesitate to ask, but will you offer a congratulatory rah-rah sis boom ba, or are you just going to shout sports?
Sports!
I was afraid that would be
Oh, I mean, come on. If you're going to have cheer, as it's called, by the way, not cheerleading, It will be called cheer. Are you going to have, like, doubles and four-person, eight-person, 16-person cheer? I mean, are there going to be different categories of cheer?
It needs to be decided.
I mean, this is ridiculous. If we're going to have cheer in the Olympics, can we please get rid of synchronized diving? I mean, fun is fun, but we're starting to get a little silly here.
We're starting to get a little silly
I mean,
here. Have you looked at the sports that used to be in the Olympics?
Well, I know, tug of war.
You're
I understand. But
starting to get
the
a
key
little
is,
silly.
Bill, they're not in the Olympics anymore.
Silly is the name of the
it's
game.
It's time to go back to boxing and wrestling. Mm. Because I will guarantee you that the ancient Greeks did not have cheer. Although, you know, who knows? I mean, but probably not.
You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce in Sports Illustrated from time to time these days, and he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.